Hello, everybody. Welcome. Yeah, this is Pastor Deborah. Come on in. Come on in. Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing all these people. Oh, my gosh. Father, you are doing a work for yourself. Yes. Hello, everybody, again. Everybody, find a seat. Take your position, sort of sit down or stand up. What? There's some kind of creature next to you? Well, sure. You're in the living garden. The Garden of Eden. Haven't you heard about it? The trees are living. They're like the Ents from the Lord of the Rings. We have singing flowers, talking pine cones. The squirrels, all the animals talk, like in Narnia. Yeah. This is a strange place, but it is the presence of the Lord. It is the beginning place where humanity began, was placed into it, and was to shepherd it, watch over it, guard it, and protect it. But the first human, what? His name was Adam? That's right. That first human didn't do so well. And he and his helpmate, called Womb Man, Woman, were kicked out. That's right. And the door was sealed by a flaming sword and a fiery cherubim, tasked with guarding the entrance. That's right. And nobody could see it in the realm of the spirit. It was deeply hidden. But there was a way you could eventually find it if you studied the creator of the garden's words of life. And you added things to your life. And you developed and you grew. And you added more things. And you kept developing and growing and adding, passing your test, taking lots of tests, attacks on your life and death. Your pride would be attacked to see if it was something that could be used against you. You had to take major tests, add some more things, get experience, be put up in front of people, and see how you respond. Slowly over time, this word of God tells us that the angels, the host of heaven, will minister. That means open up to you this entrance. And Pastor Deborah saw it. And I entered in. And I realized where I was. And my story goes, but many times, even before I saw that, I had to have a special place in the realm of the spirit that I would go, because I would be angry, upset, hurt, wounded, and I didn't want to go into the presence of God that way. So I asked God to make for me a tent, something like Abraham lived in, and the early Hebrews, the wanderers in the desert and the wilderness. And I would go in there spiritually, and I would cry, or I'd be angry, or I would feel hopeless or defeated. And then when I got over that, I would go into the very throne room and presence of God. Because when you begin this work, helping people the Lord's way, you're going to have a lot of bad days. People you want to try to help will turn around and try to kill you, steal from you, take advantage of you, get you into sin. They'll lie, cheat, and steal, and they're like a pack of wolves to help you. Before we get into this lesson of a father's heart, a father's desires, and a father's prophetic words of the School of Light, an educational series, for you, to teach you spiritual things to your spirit. And this is lesson number 6. We are working in and have come to verse 6 of Isaiah 61. And you will learn that Isaiah 61 and 62 were foundational in Pastor Deborah's life. I had to study them, read them, learn them, apply them in prayer to you, learn how to wield them as petitions of prayer on your behalf, knowing that God said, I sent my word. I'll watch over my word, not yours, not your denominations, not another God's, not a religion's. I won't watch over anything but my words of spirit and life, which are light, everlasting. But let's get back to how did Pastor Deborah find the garden and become the shepherd of it? I want to read some scriptures to you, but first, let's pray. Is there anybody here that would like to open up with prayer? Oh, my goodness. All right, go right ahead. Everyone, be quiet while this little one prays, and then we'll begin this lesson. All right, you go right ahead. Wonderful. Dear Father, you heard these words of petition from this young one who is developing to become your royal priesthood, a royal priest unto you on behalf of others. Father, we thank you for his words, for they were right out of his spirit, filled with thanksgiving and praise, and asking you to do mighty things. In your son's name, amen. All right, how did I find this place? How was it opened up to me, this garden, where we all are right now? Here's how. I read about the garden in the book of Genesis, where a man, early man named Adam, had been placed into. His dirt body was formed of the earth, and at that time, the earth was clean and pure, undefiled. It was a unique form of dirt. God picked it up, this man, after he breathed life and spirit into him. Sort of like if when a baby is in the womb, an egg comes and a sperm comes. They are made of dust, dirt, flesh. They come together. They start moving. They start forming through genetic codes that God created to form the physical body of a human. Other animals and plants have their own genetic code. So the physical body was being formed, like in a womb. And for a little while, there is no life, no animation, until in the womb, the heart starts beating. Conception has already occurred, egg and sperm. Life is being formed. And when it is ready, it's like an electrical plug was plugged in. And electricity came into this formation, these cells, and went. The heart begins beating. Now, out in the world, a lot of people say it's alive. It's in a formation stage. it's developing. It's called a fetus. And it's early, maybe a zygote, I think. But it's alive. It has genes to be a human. It is forming the physical body to be a human, not a dog, not a cat, not a blob of just tissue, not a half human and half animal, but a human with those DNA from the sperm and the egg. In the DNA, there are programs, there's genetic code through different systems that this God of creation put in. Now, those genes have been tampered with. When this Adam decided to disobey a direct commandment, a spoken decreed law, do not eat of a fruit from a certain tree once he got in the garden. He could eat from every other tree, but not that one. And he did eat, disobeyed his parents, his father. In our infancy, as human beings, creation, we don't know a lot. The father didn't tell him all the consequences. He did say, if you eat from this tree, and the tree was called the knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge means you will become aware of it. You will have experience personally. And you will know what good is and what evil is. He said, if you eat from that tree, you will surely die. If I told that to a little baby, even a child, they would not know what die means. I would as the parent. Now, this command was disobeyed in the garden through bewitchment, deceptions, lies from the heart of an evil spirit who had become the adversary of God, hiding inside the dirt body of a creature in the garden. It was called a serpent. We believe it had legs. And after this mess, God took its legs away, and we believe it became the snake. So what happened to this first Adam? His body was taken from the dirt, the earth, formed like a potter, formed and shaped. Okay? Then it said he was placed, picked up, and placed in the garden. That would be like giving him birth out of the womb. And this young man, Adam, was told to guard, keep, and protect the garden. And there was food there, all grasses, nuts, fruit, but do not touch and eat. He didn't say touch. He said, don't eat of that one tree that's right there in the very center. And there was another tree there. That's another great teaching. The tree of life was also there. This young man didn't know much about anything. So what happened was he disobeyed, got kicked out of the garden. The garden had to be helped because the serpent had to leave. And bad things happened, and God straightened all that up, put a door. You'll see it sort of like the elfin door in the Lord of the Rings, a hidden door. Okay? You'll also see it in the Lord of the Rings when the dwarves were trying to get back into Erebor. They had a key, and there was some kind of weird prophecy that you could only read this map and the instructions by the light of a certain moon. And three people heard it, but didn't understand it. So when they get to the mountain, they're looking for this keyhole and can't find it. They try beating it down. They try it with the axe. They try everything they can, because their interpretation of the last light of Durin's day was the sun. So as the dwarves were walking off, Bilbo stayed there, thinking, pondering what the instruction said. He watched the sun set, and he watched the moon come up with the light of the sun on it. And it clicked in his head that the last light of Durin's day was the light of the moon shining on this rock that would show the keyhole. And he saw it. So you can hear words and have a different interpretation and not find the entrance to what you're looking for. Pastor Deborah did. And here are the scriptures. And I'm going to read them to you. I'm not going to expand on them. But this is what I went through. How to find a father's heart, his desires and prophetic words for you. How to grow up. How to find the garden. How to move in it. How to teach in it. How to be a spiritual teacher. So let me read. I'm going to the King James, the authorized King James Bible. That's another story you'll have to learn. Into 2 Peter of the New Testament. And I'm going to read it to you, but not expand. So if you see me looking down, I'll be reading the scriptures. Peter, the second letter. Verse 1. Simon Peter, remember he was one of the 12 that was the original 12, and he had some issues. And God had to restore him because he denied Christ 3 times. And how did he get restored? God asked him, did he love his sheep? Yes, 3 times. So you can be restored after you fall away. I'll use an example. If you have been voting for politicians who believe in abortion on demand, that it's not a baby, the woman has a right to kill, murder, destroy in the life of a baby, a human baby. It's not a dog inside there. If you believe that and you vote for a politician that believes it, okay, you have denied Christ. You have denied the Word of God. You have denied Him. Then if you get a revelation that it is a baby and nobody has the right to kill it through abortion and it has a right to be born, maybe you don't want it. You can adopt it out. There's a lot of wonderful people that would adopt it. If you get that revelation that it is a baby and you are killing and destroying it, you are not allowing its spirit to enter earth and to have all the celebrations for people to say, happy birthday to you. Welcome to the earth. You have been birthed out of the womb. If you get that revelation, all right, and that it's wrong, it's a sin, it's hateful, it's murderous, it's an act of Satan to kill a baby in the womb. All right? So you get that. Now, do you stay in the same political party that in their political platform, which you must study, that it quotes and states their political party's platform is to have abortion on demand at any age, even after the child is born, if the mother doesn't want it, for whatever reasons, and the taxpayers' money, whether you agree about it or not, should pay for it. And we should send money to other nations to do the same thing. If you get the revelation and you realize through study that that political party, that is their foundational belief, their platform that they are going to stand on, they're going to try to get into law, increase it, improve it, and make it legal. If you get that knowledge onto the revelation that it is a baby, it is a human, and it deserves a life to live. If you get those two, that's two. Then, if you see the politicians and how they craft the laws, and you do a little more studying about the beginnings, we'll call it here in America, Planned Parenthood. How did it get started? It's all out on YouTube. Why did it get started? What was the purpose? It was called eugenics, sterilization, abortion, for a certain purpose. Because there was a white lady, Margaret Sanger, who believed that people of a certain skin color and race were inferior. And a white person, this female, did not want their kind to continue to populate. So abortion was the way of getting rid of them. Now, Hitler took eugenics to a whole new level into doing the same thing to the Jews. Now, over in another nation, China, they are doing the same thing with their people. They're even doing it with the Uyghurs, we understand. And they are forced abortions and sterilization. Why? Because they are different. They have biological bodies of Chinese, but they worship a different god. They pray not to the flag or to the dragon. They are Muslims. And in China, there is going to be no faith, no religion. We're all going to be the same. We're going to control everything about you. Your work, your beliefs, what you worship, what you do, what you don't do. So from that, if you gather all that information through YouTube, through documentaries, through reading books, through listening to both sides, and you come to that aha moment, it is wrong to do that. Then, what do? You must do some things. Maybe leave that political party. Change. Become a different one. Maybe be independent. Your prayers will change. But you usually have to build up on your information. Sometimes before that entrance, that full revelation comes to you, then you can walk in it. Live in that revelation. You can speak to other people. Your prayers will change. Mm-hmm. So how Pastor Deborah found the garden was a similar thing. And I'm going to read it to you. So you can go to the Bible and read it for yourself. We're reading in 2 Peter, verse 1. Simon Peter, as I told you, was one of the original apostles, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, that means belief, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So he's saying to all of those who have come to that area, that place. Okay, if you are somebody that haven't studied political parties' platforms, which I do at every convention, they develop a platform here in America. I do not know if they do that in other nations, but I look at their history. I watch all different world news things on YouTube, and I learn. I study different religions, their history, their beginnings. I go back to Egypt. I'm gathering information, which you must have, okay? So he is saying to all those people who believe like we do, and through your salvation by God and his righteousness and his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. It means you will get peace, and peace will be multiplied to you, a bountiful blessing within you, within your soul and your spirit, when you first have that like faith of salvation and righteousness. How? Through the knowledge of God. When you come to the garden, you're getting knowledge for your spirit. You have to take that back to your soul. And your spirit has to learn to speak, talk to, release this knowledge you're getting here to your soul. Your soul has been trapped, formed and shaped by iniquity and sin and lust of the eyes and flesh. It is a partner with the physical body. It wants pleasure, not pain. But your spirit must get strong. It must speak to that other part of you, your soul, which may be fractured into many personalities. And I'll tell you a story about that. I was working with this young lady named Amanda. She grew up and was born into multi-generational Satanism. And one day I had her in the car. She got out and went into a store. And then I'm sitting in the car. Her spirit comes back to me and says, if we continue doing drugs, sex, living homeless, whatever she was doing, we're going to die. Now, that spirit was saying that my body, that other part of me and me are going to die. And I said, yes. And the spirit said, what do I do? I said, sweetie, you must speak to that other part of you, your soul, and tell it to stop, or life on planet Earth is over with. The spirit wanted to live. It was helping God the best it could. It was getting other multi-generational people saved. It was saving homeless people, leading them to the Lord out on the streets, praying for them. And it knew if they didn't stop their behaviors, the drugs, the alcohol, the unlimited sex, the abortions, the babies, living in a homeless life, the body was going to die. It already had major problems. So I told the spirit, you must go speak to that other part of you. She says, I can't do that. I will get in trouble. And then the body came back to the car. That's how it's going to be inside of you. David shows that to us. He speaks to his soul all the time. When you get God in your spirit, you can go, soul, why are you so depressed? Why are you so downcast today? Physical body, you come under order. Don't you know we have a God that loves us? He's working on us. Your spirit must talk to the other parts of you. Must command it and recognize it is struggling and it has problems. But your spirit must get strong first. So by coming here to the garden, your spirit grows. By getting spiritual teaching with Pastor Deborah, it grows. And you go back to your physical body and you talk to yourself. You have a family meeting in there. And yes, you're going to have to talk to that big bully, the soul. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to get command of your physical body, because it just wants fun and pleasures. It will do anything to avoid pain. And the soul wants to also be loved and have fun, but it's full of hate and jealousy and revenge. Mm-hmm. But let me keep going so you'll learn. We may not get to verse number 6 today. This has gone off in a different direction. So here in 2 Peter, God is telling us we need some knowledge. And through that knowledge of God, that's the Father's heart, the Father's desires and the Father's prophetic words, that through His knowledge, by reading the Holy Bible, by studying it, studying how it was written, studying the history of it, did you know that the Bible was written first in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic? Then when this Roman Emperor Constantine wanted to win, he had a person that would speak to him. And Constantine was fighting somebody. He looked up and into the sun, and he thought he saw a figure. And this spokesperson said, "It's the cross. And if you put that sign of the cross on your shields, and you fight in that name, you'll win." And he did. Now, was that a sign from God? Or was that a sign from somebody else? You have to learn. Was that a demonic sign? Was this person speaking to him? So Constantine then made Christianity, to have unity, the empire's religion. Christianity. They were a mixture of polygods before. Then what happened? Over time, that Roman Empire that conquered everything died out. The Germanic tribes came in, I think it was Alaric, and destroyed them. But there was that Christian group of priests, and they formed the Holy Roman Empire. And they said, this faith, which was universal, Catholic, Catholicism, was going to rule the world. But they took the original language out of Greek and Hebrew and put it in the language of Rome, Latin. All the services were in Latin. All the books were in Latin. Nobody could read it except a priest who had gone and could read Greek and Hebrew and Latin. No commoner could read it. No other nation could read it. You just had to go and listen to a foreign language and look at the stained glass windows and sort of have this belief. And the philosophy of these Holy Roman Empire and its priests and its kings and its cardinals was that the common people were children. And they might misinterpret if we put it in their language. There was wars. People were killed trying to take this Latin Vulgate Bible and put it in the common language of the people. They were burned at the stake because the Word of God is so powerful. You'll see that in a movie with Denzel Washington called The Book of Eli, about the power of the Word of God to control people. You can see that in the Islamic faith with the Quran and the different books of that religion. You can see it even in other nations. Their book of faith is their constitution, but that doesn't even supersede their political platform. That's their constitution. But that has even an underline and a deeper book, the book of Satan's heart desires and words. So how I found the garden, let me keep going. So verse 3 tells us, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Let's go again. Verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things, knowledge, experience, light, revelations, that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So you cannot get these all things that pertain to life and godliness unless you get knowledge through Him that has called us. Say, come to the garden, come to me, come into the light, to glory and virtue. When you're in shadow, like Frodo had, was falling when he got stabbed by the Morgor blade, the elf lady, Arwen, tried to call him back out of the shadow. Come to the light. Come to the light. You could see Frodo turn his head. His eyes were glazed over like a snake's. He could hear Arwen. He could see her. But he can't move. He can't. He's falling. Going into shadow. Becoming a ring rave. And unseen. He will disappear. He's dying. He's poisoned. And that's how our souls have been. And our spirits, they're ring raves. They've fallen into shadow. And he's saying, come to me. Come to the light. Don't go any farther into the shadow. Come to the light. Through knowledge. Yeah. And he says in verse number 4, whereby you are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. When you come into the light, into his knowledge, through the Father's heart, his desires and prophetic words of Isaiah 61. Just that. He says, you are coming into the light. There's exceedingly great promises in there that you didn't know any. You were in shadow. You had become a ring rave, alive but dead. And you could be called into action by the ruler of the dead, Sauron. So we are learning we have to come to the light. We have to have some revelation. When I studied political parties, political platforms, when I studied eugenics, the history of it, the founder of it, when I studied Planned Parenthood, when I studied Nazi Germany and their eugenics program, and I looked around at China with the Uyghurs, and I looked around in other nations. Abortion is a weapon. It's killing. It's violent. It's dissolving a form. It's cutting its limbs off. Sucking its brains out. It's a violent destruction of a living being. A child. A human that is in the formation stage with its physical body. And once I saw that certain politicians and leaders supported that, fought for it, believed it was okay. We got some lady. She says because she chose to have 5 children, she knows about the woman's right to choose to have babies. So therefore, it's okay. If the woman wants to choose not to have children and kill it, if that's the case, then why doesn't the woman go and have a hysterectomy and have her uterus taken out? Why aren't men given vasectomies where you clip so the sperm cannot come in and be released? Why aren't the men made to sterilize? In Nazi Germany, they were. They did the males and the females. And in China with the Uyghurs, they're doing that also. It's done in many countries. But the man doesn't seem to get the sterilization. And the woman doesn't want to sterilize. She just doesn't want this one. Maybe it's a young girl who didn't know anything about sex, wasn't on the birth control pill. Doesn't want mom and daddy to know. Why isn't she on the pill? Why was she having sex before she was married? So when a political party supports killing on demand a child in the womb, or even if it comes out and the mother doesn't want it, that the doctor will just let it die, murder it. I have to make different decisions about, do I support them? Do I vote for them? Are they of this God of the Bible? They go to church. They make the sign of the cross. They say they pray for people. But the woman has a right to take care of her body, her way, and to be healthy. So this baby seems to be an unhealthy tumor, an unhealthy growth, and this woman should have the right to say, I don't want it. No matter if I allowed it to happen, I don't want it. I don't want it to tie me down. I don't want it to be responsible for it. I don't want anybody to know my shame. I had sex outside of marriage. I have to have marriage with my husband. I'm tired of having babies. That was Margaret Sanger's mother's. There was no birth control pill. Women were having babies all the time, sex with their husbands, babies 10 and 11 up. They got tired of it. But I don't know why they did not go and have a hysterectomy. Maybe they weren't. But that was one part of it. The other part of it was Margaret Sanger believed certain races, people with certain skin colors, were not human. And they needed to be destroyed. And then that was carried on, as I said, over in Nazi Germany. And Hitler wanted to get rid of the Jews. Not all of them. He needed some in the labor forces. But he wanted to clear away out of Europe these Jews. There's a lot of spiritual stuff behind that. But let's get back to how Pastor Deborah found the garden, where we are. Where we teach. All right, we are in 2 Peter. We are now in verse number 4. It says that when you get the knowledge of God, the Father's heart, the Father's desires, and prophetic words in Isaiah 61, you will become partakers of His divine nature, and you will receive these great and precious promises. And the promises, I will be a partaker of His divine nature. And by doing that, spiritually, I will have escaped the corruption of my spirit that is in the world through lust. And I want to stop it right there, and we'll pick up in part 2 of this. So you can learn that by you coming here time and time again, watching other people's, learning the word, you will learn and receive the opening for yourself. I don't have to look for it anymore. I just live in it. Now I leave it and go into the kingdom of darkness spiritually. Okay? There's a lot you must learn. You must gain knowledge from many sources. You must be asking, God, why do people do this? Why does this religion do this to other people? Why are there terrorists? Why is there violence in nations? Why are there extreme religious sects? Why is there killing of children? Why do people mutilate the genitals of little girls in some cultures? Why are a freedom of finding other beliefs not allowed in some nations? Why are the Uyghurs being sterilized? Why do they say they need retraining? What is it in the Uyghurs that the Chinese government does not like? Is it because they don't think like the rest of the Chinese, that they are violent people? What is it? Until you get to the point, you start, God, what's going on? What's happening? Who's behind that? Are you behind this? Is another God, maybe the God of this world? Why is that government doing that? Why did this happen? What is happening? Mm-hmm. Why are the viruses doing what they're doing? Why is there so much gun violence? Is it the guns problems? Why are there so many gangs? Why is there illegal drugs? Why is there human trafficking? Why is there child pornography? Why is there prostitution? Until you start asking those questions, not only spiritually, to God, and you help your soul to start wanting to know the truth, He can't take you into the light. You remain in the shadow, becoming a ringwraith. And once you get there, it's almost impossible to get you back. So let's pray that you will desire to come to the light. And I'm going to pray, Father, the grace that you have given me through Christ Jesus and your word, give it to them, like Arwen did to Frodo, to stop him, slow down, going into the shadow. Father, the grace you have given me, give it to them. Help them to come, Father, back to the light. Father, they have been in the realm of the ringwraiths, the living dead. Help their spirits, Father, to receive your love and to receive your ointment and your balm of Gilead. Whatever you do, Father, it's as the elfin magic that only you can stop the poison and the descending even further into the shadow. Bring these precious spirits that you have brought here today to your light, that you may fill them with the knowledge of salvation. Give them exceedingly great promises through the knowledge of the Father's heart, the Father's desires, and your prophetic words of Isaiah 61 and 62. Apply the blood of the cross, of the judgment, and the justice. Let the victory of the cross be ruling and reigning spiritually over them and on them. Help their old self to come to the cross. Help them, Father, to come out of the tomb of death, hell, and the grave into a resurrected creature, a glorified one, not of the world of shadow, not of the world of Sauron and his Mordor, not of the world of evil and ignorance, but of truth and light. Help them, Father. Only you can do this. Father, they need you so much, for they have fallen so deep into shadow. Father, help them. In the name of Christ Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit, and through your garden, and your presence, and your mighty love, in the name of the Word of God itself, the crown of glory, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. All right. Everyone is welcome to stay here, go away, go back to your bodies, meet with other people. I'll see you again in the next lesson. It'll be part 2 of part 6. We ain't even got into the next verse, verse 6. We're still working through Peter and how Pastor Deborah found the garden, and how I learned how to evaluate situations, people, things, activities through the Word, through a relationship in the light with this God who wants to help you to know what's really going on. Who's behind it? He doesn't want to get blamed for something he didn't do. He wants you to know the truth. But you must have knowledge. You must be a truth seeker, an archaeologist, digging deep, looking. And with him helping you, you will find that. All right, everybody, enjoy. Yes? Okay, Father, some here already know they have been stabbed with the Morgor blade, and that they have fallen and are falling, as Frodo was, into shadow. And they want you to help them now. So when they go back, they are healed. Father, apply your word of Isaiah 61 and 62 and the victory of the cross to those that are here. Stop the shadow. Pull them deep out of it. Do a Hebrews 4:12. Provide them with the spiritual circumcision that brings them up out of the shadow. Separate them from Sauron, the master of this world, the God of the kingdom of darkness. Father, set them in your kingdom. Bring them into the light and help them and teach them. Strengthen them. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. Okay. Those that God is working on, you may stay right where you are. Some of you may not know it till you get back, but you will be different. And Father, will you protect them when others notice that they are different? For Satan will know that they have been taken from their physical bodies. They don't know where they're at, but they're starting to learn. And Father, the enemy is gathering outside of your garden. You're going to have to do the protection so that they can come and return safely. Father, this is your work. This is what you have called me to do with you. This is your work of your life and your light and of the kingdom of heaven. We need all that you can give us. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, everybody. Bye. See you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening and watching this video. It is an honor and a pleasure to have you stopped by today and watch. This is Pastor Deborah, and I hope you come again and watch many, many more videos and learn and grow spiritually and hear how she has helped people spiritually the Lord's way for many, many years. Come again, watch another one, and we welcome you to be a subscriber to the channel, to make comments. And if you wish to contact Pastor Deborah, please email her at her email address for the ministry at pastordeborah@agapeloveishere.org. You can also see these videos on Twitter and on the website in the many different sections that they are put into. Enjoy, and it was once again an honor to have you watch and listen. Thank you, and come again to another video of Agape Love, Love is Here Ministries, a ministry of helping people the Lord's way that Pastor Deborah has been doing for many, many years. Love always and forever, Pastor Deborah.